The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Malaysia's external trade kicked off 2017 with double-digit growth, which has been a boon for freight forwarders. But as the pie grows, can local freight forwarders fend off the competition? I'm Tan Chung Han, and today on The Breakfast Grill, I'm speaking to Elvin Chua, President of the Federation of Malaysian Freight Forwarders. Good morning, Elvin.
Hey, good morning, Tan.
Now, so currently FMFF, or the Federation of Malaysian Freight Forwarders, has over 1,000 members nationwide. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Is that too many?
Actually, it's not. It's enough because we cover as you know, Malaysia, we have 13 states and also Labuan, you know. So the membership is spread around all the whole states, you see. So we have six states membership, and also the Bumiputera association is also one of our member. And then in logistics, as you know, there are so many sectors and so many divisions. So not all are doing freight forwarding, you see. We also have others like transporters, handlers and everything. It's all inside our membership.
With 1,091, I believe that's the exact number there. Could the industry do with some consolidation?
Actually, in the long run, we should really seriously look into mergers and acquisition among ourselves, you know. To compete with the world, you know, we have to be prudent and we have to have a certain size. If not, you know, we would just fall behind the other forwarders or other logistic players in the region.
Now, with 1,091, those are the ones who are registered with FMFF. Give us a sense as to the actual number of freight forwarders total in Malaysia.
If I'm not mistaken, the total should be around 3,000 plus.
3,000?
Yeah, because some of the companies, they have three or four companies. They only register one company. So they have other activities like transports, warehouse, you know. It's split up, you know. This is because of licensing again, you know, Malaysia.
Speaking of, as I understand it, it is a pretty low barrier to entry there. You do not need a license to be a freight forwarder, correct?
Yeah, for a freight forwarder, you don't need a license. But to be a custom broker, you need a license from the customs.
Right.
Right. To have, to have assets like trucks and everything, you know, then you need quite a substantial pay up, you know. That's a few things.
But given that the industry was recently liberalized, was that a right move, you think? Because it appears that there are just so many of these freight forwarders now mushrooming, right? Like you said, over 3,000.
Yeah. No. Talking about liberalizations of the freight forwarders, you know, I don't see many entries from overseas or from foreign. Okay, we have a number increasing, but all the while there is no there is no controls. Whether you want to be a freight forwarder, or you know, just register with SSM, you know, and then your company is already operated as a freight forwarder or just a logistic company.
While you say the number is small, yet from my sources, they are saying that there has been a number of freight forwarders from overseas coming here, setting up shop because they do not need a license, perhaps operating for a few months and closing down, and you've got local customers who are then suffering as a result. So again, was the call for liberalizing the market, was it the right call?
Malaysia, as per in the ASEAN, you know, AEC agreement, you know, we have to liberalize the logistics. So we have done that since 2009, if I'm not mistaken, right? So we allow them to come in, but in a different way. The government was always thinking that, you know, logistics is just like a custom broker. But, you know, Malaysia's, as usual, like for all the ASEAN countries, we start off logistics as a custom broker. Now we are very evolved into freight forwarding, into logistics. All right, freight forwarding is actually introduced by Americans and the Europeans, right? So we are following their forte, right? So and again, you must also look at the way Malaysia is trading. A lot of cargo there when they are buying you see, 90% of the traders in Malaysia, importer exporter, are SMEs, right? So most of the time when they buy CIF.
And when they CIF, sorry?
CIF, meaning cost, insurance, and freight, meaning that, you know, the freighting is already done, you know, by the seller in overseas.
Okay.
And when they sell the product, you know, they sell in FOB, meaning that, you know, the freighting is all controlled by the buyer in overseas. Right. So in the end, you know, Malaysia is, what we are doing only? We are only doing custom brokerage for these SMEs. So now we have very evolved, you know, into freight forwarding, meaning that we also can compete with the overseas agents, you know, by also doing the same thing, but we reverse it, you know. Right, to help the country.
But before we go into the competition aspect, how do you as FMFF, as the entity representing your over 1,000 members, how do you preserve the integrity of your industry, again, given that you have got quite a few foreign entities who come into the country, set up shop, close down after a few months, and then hurting not just the industry's reputation, but also local customers in the process? How do you protect your stakeholders from that?
What we are doing aggressively now is actually on education, all right? Because this is not a regulated industry, so we do self-regulation, right? So we impose certain criteria. Example, to be a member, you must have a certain 100,000 ringgit paid up, you know. You must send your two staff to do training in our institute, right? We form an institute for logistics, you know. Our program is supported by the Ministry of Transport. This program comes from ESCAPE, you know. Mm-hmm. So we bring the foundation for freight forwarding from ESCAPE. We also, the Federation of International Transport and Logistics Association, have a program for this logistics. So we bring this program into our association, and then we give back to our members. So to be a member, you must send two. And then also, all this all those who want to join our membership, they must have liability insurance.
While you self-regulate, is that enough? Because, like you said, your membership only accounts for 1/3 of the total industry, right? Your members, about 1,000 out there, there are 2,000 more running around, right, doing their thing outside of your zone. Is self-regulation enough? Should the government perhaps step in and regulate this industry?
Because when Malaysians started the Anti-Competition Act, you know, so they can't regulate this industry. It's actually a very open market. But we have a lot of meetings together with associations or the other associations to make them aware, you know, how to choose affordances and everything.
Okay.
These are the best way to tell them, you know, when you choose a logistic player, you know, number one, make sure they have a custom, if you are doing a custom brokerage, make sure they have a custom brokerage license. Okay. Make sure their paid up is, you know, enough. Make sure they have a liability insurance to handle your goods. Mm. Right? Make sure they have an office. Very important. Go and visit the office. You know, these are the few things. And also, many other ways you can check, you know. Make sure they have a ledger account with the ports or with the airports, you know. So you know these are genuine forwarders, not the fly-by-night, you know, two ringgit companies.
Right. Two ringgit companies, I love that. Now, let's talk about the competition aspect then, because back in March, Malaysia launched the Digital Free Trade Zone. Jack Ma was here, accompanied by 16 freight forwarders, all from China. Can local freight forwarders compete with them?
Okay, the Digital Free Trade Zone was an idea by Jack Ma to form a second hub after China. Right. Basically, this Digital Free Trade Zone cater for a hub for ASEAN, right? Not just for Malaysia. Malaysia volume is very small, something like 4 billion, you know, for e-commerce. But in the world, it's very big. In China, you know, it's like 300 billion, right? They do 380 billion parcel per year, you know. And this 16 company, handles 70%. And e-commerce is the in thing now, the future. So even for us as logistics player, freight forwarders, we have to go into, you know, e-commerce, into platform to compete.
Right? But can we compete? Again, you've got 1,000, you know, or fine, as an industry as a whole, 3,000 small guys up against, you know, these 16 giants. Can we do it?
These 16 giants are doing e-commerce logistics only, not the normal logistics that we are doing. You see, when they are doing e-commerce, they do last mile, they do a platform to handle the goods. But to move the goods from point A to point B, example from port to port or port to airport, airport to airport, you know, they still need a logistic player to do it for them.
But won't they be bringing their own supply chains as well though?
They will.
So how are your 1,000 members going to compete, not just against these 16 guys, it's 16 plus their respective supply chains?
Okay, these 16 guys coming in, they will have a big e-commerce company customers, all right? We also know that there's many, many smaller e-commerce coming up, you know, to do e-commerce, right? The smaller traders and everything. These are the ones we can pick. We can't compete with them, right?
So we
but we can complement their services. But I hope the government will not just give them free way, you know. Example, like, you know, if a local forwarder, example, you know, even these e-commerce logistic players, which is coming, they also need license to operate as a courier company. They have to have license to be a custom broker. They should follow the same rule like what we are facing now. Example, you know, the non-Bumiputra Trust company, there's still 51% equity needed, you know, to have the license. And that should be also be imposed to them.
Alvin, you raise a very good point. So in just a bit, we'll speak more about the government's policies that are intended for your industry, whether they are actually helping you or presenting a challenge to the growth of the freight forwarding industry. I'm Tan Chung Han, and I've been speaking to Alvin Chua, President of the Federation of Malaysian Freight Forwarders.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Breakfast Grill. I'm Tan Chung Han, and with me in the studio is Alvin Chua, President of the Federation of Malaysian Freight Forwarders. Now, Alvin, in the first half, we left off on the government policies and how it's affecting your industry. Now, from my sources and my research, they tell me that the biggest challenge for your members right now is the changes in government policies. So how do you help your members manage those expectations?
Okay, actually, we were very lucky 2 years ago. In 2015, the Prime Minister launched the Master Plan for Logistics. Actually, this plan actually is to help the SME, as he know that, you know, 90% of traders in Malaysia is SME. So SME do not have a voice. So they use the logistics to help them to move their goods and cargo in a more proper and better way, you see. Okay, so this with this master plan, the head of the master plan was pushed to MOT, and the chairman for this master plan actually is none other than our Minister of Transport, Dato' Seri Lia Tong Lai. Okay, so he's formed up a national logistic task force with a CEO there, and most of the government agency involved in transport and logistic sits in this committee, which they have a meeting twice a year. Mm. And they have other five pillars, you know, talking about the infrastructure, talking about the trade facilitation, the IT part, you know, and also the human resource.
Now, very often when we talk about these government initiatives, yeah, it sounds great at the top line, right? But does it actually trickle down to benefit your 1,091 members?
Okay, so what we are doing now during the meeting, you know, we present all the issue that we are facing, right? And the minister himself is very proactive, you know, and he take into the issue very seriously and try to resolve it if he can, you know, with all the other agencies. But this is a big challenge because they don't have any power to do it, you see.
Wait, the ministry doesn't have power?
Oh, of course, no. Because
so who has the power then?
The Prime Minister himself. Because there's so many. We see, the goods moved across many government agencies.
Right.
Right, from the customs to the health ministry to even to like CIRIM, CIDB, you know. There's so many barriers, you know.
Hmm.
Right. Then we have our free zone, you know. The activity that we can do, we cannot do, you know.
Hmm.
So what the minister want to do is actually to create the Pokleng or Malaysia as the preferred, you know, logistic hub for ASEAN.
Okay.
Right. But with this barrier, you know, with this barrier, we can't do it. Certain goods we cannot do. This we cannot do, you know. So we present all these barriers to the Minister of Transport. So he will call all the ministry to come in and discuss about that, how to open up the barrier.
So do you see any end in sight? Is there a timeline for when all these major challenges will be resolved?
Firstly, they will look at the infra first, you know. They are trying to resolve the infra, the issue that the last mile that we have, you know, from the roads, the infra that, you know, are we up to the standard or not, you know, with all the other ports in the ASEAN area.
And are we up to standard?
Yeah, we are up to standard, you know. Then the only thing is that certain, we are now looking at, you know, upgrading and also doing up the road properly to, say, example, our main port, West Port, you know.
Mm.
They know that there's an issue there to widen the road. There's a lot of jam every day. There's a lot of potholes. So the first thing the minister have done is give a 30 million ringgit to JKRR just to say, do the road first.
Mm.
That's what they are doing. This is a fast-track way of, instead of just talking and not doing anything, you see.
Okay, good. Well, that's good to know. But at the same time, we have been hearing a lot of announcements about infrastructure projects. I mean, just Port Klang alone, there's that massive Kerry Island project. Is there a real need for it? Is that one too many?
You see, Port Klang, we are handling... We talk about indigenous cargo, our own cargo. Don't talk about the transshipment cargo. We handle about 4 million TEUs, right?
TEUs
are numbers of the 20-footer equivalent containers.
Okay.
Right. So we handle about 4 million TEUs every year, right? So it should be around 5 million. Total Malaysian, about 12 million TEUs, right? So the numbers that we have, you know, again, the question you're asking, do we need so many ports? Actually, our ports... We have not reached the capacity of our port yet.
Right.
Right. And we also have to seriously look into at Singapore. They are building the Tuas, which is going to be a 65 million TEUs container port. From 30 million, they are going to handle 65 million in, say, 10 years. Right. So we say we want to compete with them. But it's not the port that will determine, you know, whether the ship want to come or not. It's the shipping line themselves will determine whether I want to call your port or not.
Mm.
Recently in April, because of the merger and acquisition of the port and the and forming of the three big alliance, all right, 20% of the goods of the container moved back to Singapore. Even though our cost is cheaper than Singapore, but by doing that, you know, the cost of the freight went up. So, you know, this is again, you know, how the shipping line are looking at at both the places.
So why is it that they're choosing Singapore and not Malaysia, though, despite us being cheaper?
The efficiency and also the numbers of equipment they have, right? Westport last year was doing very well, so there's a bit of congestion. Certain vessels have to come in, also they have to wait, you know. So this don't look good. Singapore don't have this issue.
So what can we do to improve our competitiveness?
Liberalization of the industry, firstly,
which they have done,
but not for the ports, you know.
Okay.
For the ports. So also make it a liberation of these processes, you know, actually.
Okay, yeah. And processes at the government level or
at the government level. Government level.
Okay. Yeah. Now let's talk about the cabotage policy. You know, that has been abolished for Sabah, Sarawak, and Labuan. What does that mean for your industry?
It's just started this month, all right? The jury is still out on this. While Sabah and Sarawak have demanded the lifting of the cabotage policy with the reason that it increases the cost of goods into the state. But some studies actually shown otherwise. Okay, if you allow a foreigner vessel to come in and they are, say, $50 or $100 cheaper, all right, will they be given back to the rakyat? Or is it the traders going to make more money? You see, Sabah and Sarawak, if you look at them, you know, their volume is very small. Right? They are trading, their buying power is so small. So how much can you save? Right. So but Sarawak forgotten, you know, that, you know, 80% of the East Malaysian vessel, of the Malaysian vessel, are registered in Sarawak. They forgot about that. So are they going to kill their own industry? 80% of the shipyard in Malaysia is in Sarawak. Okay? So are you telling them to move their shipyard to, say, to this Indonesia? You know, there's a study been done, you know, all right, on by World Bank, by EPU. The price will not come down for the Sabahan and the Sarawakian.
But it goes back to the idea of liberalizing the markets, right? Because earlier you mentioned how the liberalization of the freight forwarding industry, that has helped boost competition, right? So wouldn't the same argument apply?
See, the cabotage law happens in many countries also, like in America. There's a cabotage law. You know, you don't allow foreign vessels to come in to take local cargo. Indonesia, they open up in 2005, the cabotage law. Nearly most of their shipping line collapsed. All right. So in that, in 2009, they bring back the law and say that, you know, no, we have a cabotage law. They have so many islands, so they need the local.
Hmm.
So they don't want, you know, the Thais, the Vietnamese to come in, you know, to take the market. So what is going to happen to Malaysia? I think so. The Indonesian boats, the smaller boats, will come in to take this this business. But you know, what about the safety? You know, the Indonesians.
And it's because Malaysian shipping companies are unable to compete. That's why they need those protectionist policies. Right?
No, it's too early to tell whether the lifting of the capitalist policy will actually benefit the state. Right? Generally, even our members in this state are unsure and believe that things will become more clearer in the next 6 months. But the strongest argument to retain the capitalist policy is to ensure we have sufficient domestic shipping when needed in time of national emergency, war, and crises. Because when there's an emergency, all right, say there's something happening in Malaysia. Mm. So all these local ships must help the government to move all the things over. So if because of this capitalist law, all these local vessel leave Malaysia, then you don't have any more Malaysian vessels. And what happened to the country?
So let's end with this then. Looks like the freight forwarding industry, while you've got prospects of tremendous growth given the rebound in global demand and the kind of rebound in external trade, you are also faced with plenty of challenges. So sum it up then, what is the outlook for your industry, say for the second half of this year?
The second half of this year, the outlook is not very good for this year, actually. After the implementation of the GST, actually, the numbers of import and export reduced by 20%. So, actually, the market is down 20%. Although the government showed a figure, we are still 6% up, but in the logistic world, we are actually 20% down.
Well, how come? Why the disconnect?
What's the numbers? You see, the numbers. Instead of, those importers, the SME, instead of importing, say, two containers, now they're only importing one container. Mm. The number of import is still there, but the quantity have dropped a lot.
Okay.
Right? Instead of FCL, they are coming in LCL, Instead of holding the cargo in Malaysia, to keep in the market, but no, they are not doing now. They're not doing that. But with e-commerce coming in, it will be even worse. Right, so even small traders, now even yourself can be a trader. You can import your own thing, so you won't go to a traders.
Hmm.
You see, that's the challenge of our SME now
for
the future. So if they don't look into this e-commerce seriously, they will end up closing shop.
So
even
then,
for the logistic players.
Then what about beyond 2017 then? Do you see a rebound in the horizon? Or is it just downhill from here?
I think so. The 10-year cycle is here. I really believe the 10-year cycle. 2018 will be down. So we have to be prudent, We have to really seriously look into consolidating and not really go out and fight the market. Mm.
Right. Well, certainly wish you and your 1,091 members all the best. Good luck there.
Thank you
so much for joining us here on The Breakfast Grill. That was Alvin Chua, President of the Federation of Malaysian Freight Forwarders. I'm Tan Chung Han, and you've been listening to BFM 89.9.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile, where data hearts you.